This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Number 1.
Which was worse? The Cubs' 9-3 loss to the NL Central leading Brewers on Tuesday or the 8-4 loss to Milwaukee on Monday?
It was yesterday. It was yesterday because that replay of the Andrew Vaughn grand slam and his swing is going to sit with me for a really long time. Because number one, where the hell was that on the South Side for the past few years? Don't you remember all that talk about, he's going to replace Jose Abreu's offense whenever Jose Abreu goes to the Astros? It never happened. Not only did it not happen, he got sent to AAA and suddenly Brewers magic has recreated this man, and he had a good week yesterday when you consider that he had 6 RBIs and went 3-for-4, and he's like gracing the front page of MLB.com. Andrew Vaughn, it's yesterday.
I have to disagree.
I'm shocked. Shocked that you disagree. I've never heard you say that.
No, but like, let me tell you why. The Andrew Vaughn thing, that was tough to swallow, not going to lie. But let's
Did
be
you
real.
See that? I mean, there's like big league wide stance, leg kick, head level.
If it comes
was
in high, let it fly.
Oh, my
that's
word.
That's exactly what he did. You see a breaking pitch that's up, you hammer that thing.
I mean, you're imitating that swing. Like that, and then the crowd goes wild.
Yeah, it was a bad time, but it wasn't nearly as bad a time as it was back on Monday. Because let me tell you something. The father who was stepped up all season long did not step up.
All right, Daddy Gang.
And that's
don't you
scary.
Dare, don't you dare put those two together.
No, listen. I didn't expect them to win a game that Colin Ray started yesterday. I know it got ugly, but I didn't expect them to win. What I did expect on Monday, after being spotted 3 runs in the first inning, is for Matthew Boyd to go out in what he's done all season long. And in the biggest start he's made all season, he gave up more runs than he has all season.
Was that the Daddy Gang?
It was a something gang. They ganged up on him. Gang. Listen, for Matthew Boyd to do something he's never done in his career, which is start a game and walk the first 2 batters he faced, that's a problem. It's a problem, and you're hoping it's a one-off. But if it's not a one-off, Layla, what we are talking about right now, that Monday loss was much worse than the Tuesday loss because of the possible long-term ramifications of Matthew Boyd not being the father that stepped up each and every time he takes the mound.
I know that we said that we aren't going to dwell on this.
I was just letting you know why I disagreed. I didn't disagree just to disagree.
No,
just
you did not, and you made an excellent point. But I haven't also gotten to express stress about Matthew Boyd yet, and that was worth expressing stress about.
The other thing, Andrew Vaughn, yeah, that was bad, but I'm also wondering what he does today.
Number 2.
Who has gotten the better makeover? Former Bears head coach turned Cowboys defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus or former White Sox turned Brewers slugger Andrew Vaughn?
I submitted this question.
What's
because
that?
The newest version of Flusitron 3.0 has glasses. I saw the press conference from Dallas yesterday and I was like, whoa.
Like some bifocals?
They're like these cool, like black square-ish rim glasses.
They're cool.
Matt Eberflus has never not been good looking. It was just the issue with the football that I had a football issue.
Maybe those glasses.
As in, I disagreed with the football.
Well,
I'm all for a man going through seasons, and I always thought his wife Kelly was very stylish, and I liked that his family was on Hard Knocks. I liked all of those things. But
do you think the glasses were suggested to him, or he picked those out by himself when he went to Name an Eye Place?
Well, he said his wife is a stylist, so
there you go.
Yeah, you know, win number 3 for Kelly. But when it comes to Andrew Vaughn, this is a tough one because we know Matt Eberflus is a very good defensive coordinator. But I don't know how you don't give it to Andrew Vaughn. This glow up is of monumental proportions. We talked this morning about the possibility of Andrew Vaughn being the difference in the National League Central. What? What?
What?
Yeah.
What?
And when you consider that, Andrew Vaughn, who would have put money on that at the beginning of the year? 0 people. Maybe somebody's saying they would have. And to you, I say, where's your money then?
I'll put it like this. Only two Major League Baseball players have put up the following numbers over their first 10 home games with the team since RBI became an official stat in 1920. 475-plus batting average, a 1,000-plus slug, and 15-plus RBI. Those two players are Andrew Vaughn with the Brewers in 2025 and some guy who played for the Giants in 1993. Can you think of who that might be?
Some guy. Oh, God. Are you serious? Barry Bonds?
That would be Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds and Andrew Vaughn are in the same. Oh, God.
I just want to make sure everybody was understanding exactly what this glow-up looks like. It's the glow-up that could have you saying by, I don't know, Thursday at the trade deadline, man, the Brewers didn't start with that first base, third base combo, but Andrew Vaughn in first and Eugenio Suarez at third is sure scary. I'm just saying that's a possibility.
And here's the thing is here's Russ, and we're talking about Tommy Edman and the difference he's made for the Dodgers and all this and that. And how those pickups really do matter. It's not necessarily your Hall of Famers. It's your Hall of Very Gooders. And I feel like that's what's happening.
And just for perspective's sake, unrelated to this question, but just for perspective's sake, I'm going to say this. The Red Sox got Quinn Priester, yesterday's starter. And since May 30th, he's gone 9-0 with a 2.60 ERA in those 11 starts. The Brewers, they are 11-0 in his starts.
Good God.
Conversely, the Cubs had to add a little something-something. They added Colin Ray to their rotation. He's gone 5-4 in that time with a 5.01 ERA. The Cubs are 7-4 in his starts. Those four games, that's a big difference between guys filling out your rotation.
Two observations from your guys' answer. One, Marshall just said that the ceiling of Andrew Vaughn is Barry Bonds, so that's pretty crazy.
I just told you who's, Super Bowl. Whose company he was keeping.
Barry Bonds is winning the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that's crazy. And also, I think nightmare blunt rotation is Matt Eberflus and Andrew Vaughn. That would just be one of the worst events of my life, being with those two.
I like the inverse of the Mount Rushmore being nightmare blunt rotation. I
couldn't think of a room I'd want to be in less than a room with those two. Or if you had to sit next to those two on a plane, I'd rather die.
I think that you just told me you've been hanging out with Danny Parkins too much recently.
Oh, what do you mean by that?
When Danny was working on Radiothon stuff with you, did he address you as Robbie, or did he say, "Hey, fake Danny, what do you think about this?"
He just said, "He just, yeah."
No, he knows that. This has been a long.
No, he took his
bit.
Whip and he hit me. He said, "Radiothon." Yes.
Wow. That's what he did. No, that got very violent very quickly.
I love Danny.
Or something else.
Yeah, that's a different.
Number three.
Oh boy. Question number three here on 5 on It with Rahimi and Harris. We all know the Packers are the most hated team in all of Chicago sports. I think we can all agree with that. Are the Brewers the second most hated team in Chicago sports?
Yes. Yes. Who else would be second most hated? I guess it might be the Cardinals, but the Cubs and Cardinals rivalry is as historically notable as it has been. I feel like the buzz is not as strong with the Cardinals rivalry as it used to be. And there's no better example, perhaps, than the Cardinals fans not even showing up to the Cubs games in St. Louis. Well, you don't want to reserve your powerful hate for a team that doesn't even feel like it needs it. Like, if you guys aren't going to be there, then why am I going to get into this? But, you know, you heard that Brewers crowd last night? They let you know.
The buzz is not as strong when you're talking about the palpable hate between the Cardinals and the Cubs for one reason. The Cardinals aren't as strong. They're supposed to be in a rebuild right now. They just happen to be out here winging it and getting within 3.5 games of a playoff spot just because they're the Cardinals.
Wait, did you mean to say winging it?
I didn't. Not like intentionally.
Birds.
Oh, yeah, that works, doesn't it?
Or if they meant Red Wings.
Yeah.
No, Robbie.
Nobody cares about your Detroit teams.
Oh.
Listen.
You should care this year. They're going to win the North.
The answer to the question is right now, yes, that is the
then
second most
it back.
Hated team in Chicago, back. Mainly because the Bulls aren't good enough to hate anyone. The Blackhawks aren't good enough for their fan base to hate anyone. And the White Sox, well, yeah, they're not good enough to hate anyone externally. Although I think the internal love is starting to thaw out for the White Sox. I think people are appreciating what's going on with the White Sox and specifically with Colson Montgomery right about now. But yes, the Brewers are that team right now.
I mean, I agree, 847, the Red Wings are hated. And I agree with 414. You could make the argument for the Blues as well. But The Brewers have, you know, they're the Undertaker right now.
And we're in the moment.
Like, the Brewers are like, hey, remember that time April and May happened? We don't!
They know about June and July, though, don't they? Don't they? Yes, they do.
And Craig-tober and Craig-tember and whatever else months Craig.
Can we get to Craig-tober or whatever? Yeah, can we get to that part where Craig Council is supposed to lead them to the promised land?
And I just want to say, you know, it's all fun and games when you have a month named after you, Rocktober. But look at what has happened since.
So we look in the division for football. Let's go with the Bears. Packers, obviously the most hated. Which one do you think is the most hated after that, Lions or Vikings?
I think it's equal hate.
Yeah, I do too.
Because they're not the Packers. That's what it really comes down to.
And there's also some mutual respect there.
I think you guys are going to start to hate Detroit a lot more.
Oh, my God.
Stop it's
wish casting. We don't have enough time for this.
Number four.
For number four, this was our original question. The White Sox have a chance to win another series, throwing Adrian Hauser against the Phillies and Taijuan Walker. How much weight do you put on Hauser's start in getting the Sox more at the deadline? However, a couple hours ago, the White Sox announced they were scratching Hauser from the lineup. What are your thoughts?
Plot twist. Do you think it's one of those go across the street situations? No, it can't be in this case because the Phillies don't need starting pitching. But is it a go across the street to the Cubs situation? Do you like what I did there?
Mm-hmm.
I tried to be suspenseful, big voice guy. Wouldn't that be nice?
I am on Team Hauser to the Cubs, and I have been for quite some time because at the end of the day, they need two starters. One, a frontline guy. Two, an innings eater. An out-getter, according to the words of Craig Counsell. And my thing with Hauser is this. He's what I call an out-getter plus, because even if he is just a back-of-the-rotation arm, it seems like, from what he's done as a White Sox, that he could be a guy who gives you plus outings from the back of your rotation. That's always looked up upon.
If out-getter,
he's an OGP.
If out-getter plus is a subscription, the Cubs need to pay the full membership. To go all the way to October.
Yeah, they don't need a 7-day trial either.
They have it with ads. They're not paying for no ads.
They do need OGP. They need Outgetter Plus. And 779?
You don't have
interesting.
OGP?
Hell yeah.
Stop it, Robbie. This is Adrian Hauser isn't going to move the needle. Stop it. Oh, yeah? I bet you for a bunch of major league teams he is. Value your people. Adrian Hauser is valuable. I am interested in why he didn't start today. I do believe it's because he's getting traded. And if the Sox don't trade him, I will roll my eyes in the direction of the South Side because you need to still improve your decrepit farm system.
Also, I think it was negligence if the White Sox did roll him out there. I'm not saying that, you know, he can't get hurt anytime he takes the mound, but after what he did against the Cubs on Friday, your point's been made. Nothing else needs to be proven.
God, that was a statement.
Well, this is like if you play fantasy baseball and you know you're going to get the weekly win, why would you run your guy back out there? Just take the dub. That's how you get in trouble, is giving up runs and your ERA balloons, and now all of a sudden you've lost your matchup.
Guys, I was supposed to work on my Sky, like the boards that I do. You know, they're like play-by-play boards.
The game prep.
For my analyst work, I also put one together for myself, and it requires a lot of labor. You know, it requires a lot of work. And I just kept watching the Cubs and Sox game instead. I just kept watching. I was like, they can't. Wow, there's another hit. There's another home run. There's another hit.
Uh-oh. That was an upsetting night.
Cubs-Sox was not labor-inducing in this instance.
It's the best I've felt about the Sox in years.
Number five.
Last question on Five on It, but we got you for a little bit more time this segment as we lead you into Cubs pregame at 12:35. Question number five. Let's go with the Bears. The Bears just concluded their seventh practice. Where is your confidence level in Caleb Williams at this time?
On a scale of like 1 to 5, I feel like it's a 3. Majority of confidence. But, you know, the other 2 being what happens in actual games. But like I said, I think it's good he's not his best self right now. I think it's good because we said this earlier too. Ryan Poles talked about missing steps and skipping steps in training camp. I don't want that to happen this year. So go ahead. Live in the weird. Get a little uncomfortable because I think it will make him that much better once the regular season comes.
skipping steps, missing steps, falling down the steps, whatever it takes. Get that man ready to play NFL football under Ben Johnson and Ben Johnson's offense, and let Ben Johnson's offense be a top 10 offense in year one, if not top five. That's what I'm saying. Like, Ben Johnson, here's the thing. Not only is Caleb Williams learning, but Ben Johnson is learning what Caleb Williams can handle, which means he can tailor then his offense to not only continue to develop Caleb Williams, but at the same time, have a good enough offense to compete against other NFL teams once the regular season starts. It is a threading the needle situation, and it is the biggest challenge of Ben Johnson in year one of being the Bears head coach.
Bonus question for that. What is your confidence level in Ben Johnson in getting Caleb Williams to where we want him to be?
I can't answer that question yet. And I told you we don't have time for extra questions today. We got too much to get to.
Yeah, I probably agree with Layla. I'll answer like this. Ben Johnson has to prove that he can get things done. He has not maybe as much to prove as Caleb Williams, but close to as much to prove as Caleb Williams.
Because we got the Craig Council sound and Cubs baseball.
Oh, right, yeah. Here on 670 The Score.
Yeah.
I still don't want that blunt rotation of Eberflus and Andrew Vaughn. That sounds terrible.
Nobody wants that.
I've talked to Andrew Vaughn. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he is a nice guy. I've talked to him.
I don't like him anymore because he's a brewer.
Also, he went to Cal. Does that factor into that decision a little bit?
Too smart for me. Don't want that.
Well, the other thing, the rotation piece.
Explain it like I'm five.
I mean, Cal has been known to be a school where people say that, you know, blunt rotation amongst other drugs have been consumed there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
He's all in now. All right, let's transition to the Cubs.
Let's do that. So Robbie abruptly stopped the music as if it was some sort of cue. And then I, like a jerk, ran through it on purpose.
No, you should do that.
We hear from Craig Council. I think there's a lot of housekeeping items to discuss. We didn't know if Ian Happ was going to go on the injured list or not. We understand that multiple reports today say he's not. They did bring up Moises Ballesteros. They did DFA Vidal Brujan. So let's get the latest from Craig Council as we get you ready for Cubs and Brewers Game 3 here on The Score.
Yeah, I mean, it was basically we're just trying to put the best lineup out there today, essentially. You know, in moving on from Brujan, you know, we're probably going to have to make some other moving forward. We're probably going to have to make some other changes to the roster just to get more outfield depth. But for today, it made sense.
Was this talking about how he feels like he learned the first time here that he needs to be a little more patient and he feels calmer this time? Just what do you want to take that?
Well, yeah, I think that's right. I think that's a normal experience for, you know, your first week in the big leagues to feel like that, to feel a little anxious, to feel a little maybe over aggressive. So, you know, I think that means he probably took some good feedback from his experience, and that's what you want.
Was there any conversation about Casey getting that call up?
Yeah, there was some debate. I think, I guess I would tell you that the rosters are changeable every day.
When you talk about outfield depth moving forward, is Casey one of those guys?
Yeah, absolutely. About, yeah, absolutely.
Assuming he doesn't get traded.
He's the first part.
Like they want to bring him up? Like they want to bring Owen Casey up?
They called him a possibility, right? He said, definitely. I just want to make sure we're hearing that right, because the questions are a little bit more faint than the answers. So I wanted to see that follow-up question. I was trying to figure out what was being said there. I could hear Craig Council himself very well, but the questions were hard to come
and
in.
And that was from Jesse Rogers. Is there any way to replay it starting from that point or no? Is that hard technologically? I figured I would ask.
No, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So we are listening to Craig Council's pregame press conference ahead of this third game against the Brewers, which begins here in just a few minutes, 12:35, the start time for Cubs baseball with Zach, Pat, and Ron on The Score from Milwaukee. And that's big news. Okay, let's listen to that again. Thank you.
Was there any conversation about Casey getting that call up?
Yeah, there was some debate. I think, I guess I would tell you that the rosters are changeable every day.
When you talk about outfield depth moving forward, is Casey one of those guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Assuming he doesn't get traded.
He's the first part.
With Porter just obviously getting an option to keep working things out, just what was the report on him after?
Yeah, I mean, he's healthy. He obviously didn't pitch well last night, but he's healthy, and so you know we just got to keep getting out. Kind of the hope is just, or what's going to happen now, he's just going to get regular work, and I think that's the best way to try to get him back to good form.
Who would be your fourth outfielder today?
John Birdie first, and then flip a coin.
The Ian decision, was that
pause.
Or is it,
no, well, there was not a decision.
John Birdie and flip a coin.
Somebody's got to play the outfield if someone gets hurt. So yes, John Birdie, and then the next guy up would be flip a coin to see who's up next.
So John Birdie is the emergency catcher, an actual infielder, sometimes pitcher, and also potential outfielder.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm looking this now, looking this up as I speak, but I believe John Birdie was a, we had this question before, who would be the backup emergency catcher?
It was John Birdie.
No, and it's John Birdie.
He was a goalie back in the day.
This man is the most utility of utilities of utilities who's ever utilitied.
Man trying to keep a job.
He can do everything and nothing at the same
man
time.
Man trying to keep a job.
But also then coin flip.
Yeah, coin flip sounds not ideal.
Okay.
Not
coin flip's better than Brujan, though.
Let's listen to the thrilling conclusion of the Craig Council press conference on the score.
The Ian decision, was that difficult, or is it...
No, well, there was not a decision.
No, I mean, when you looked at, not the reports, I'm talking about the injury itself, as far as, you know, how bad it is, how long he won't be able to...
No, he's just day-to-day. It's been day-to-day since... I told you that last night.
Told me that last night.
That's what I said last night.
Well, you know, there were some reports out there, so they weren't from you.
I don't know about the reports. I feel like I told you guys he was day-to-day, maybe available today.
Well, when we left your office, he was going for x-rays.
Right? He was going for x-rays. I said he might be available today.
He didn't like those reports.
I don't though, they don't bother me, actually. I didn't see him.
I love it. I love it all. No, because it's the truth. Like, if you go back and listen to Craig Council post game last night, he's saying what he told them. Now, granted, x-rays were being taken. X-rays were negative. But then we get a report from Marquis that he's going to the IL. That apparently never happened. And I think someone jumped the gun as far as, oh, Moises Ballesteros, we have confirmed he's headed to the Cubs. And the thought process was, Ballesteros to the Cubs, that must mean Ian Happ's going to the IL. No. That means Vidal Brujan is no longer a part of this organization going forward. DFA'd.
But also, it's Bruce's right to acknowledge it for us.
Yes.
I love Bruce
It's
so
just
much.
Craig Council didn't know that had happened because...
He doesn't
job
read those
is
reports.
To manage the team and try to get, like, I don't know, 2 hours of sleep before this game. 7-2-0. Brujan DFA'd for coin flip.
That's it. But also, we got to talk about what's going on. Baseball, the trade thing is starting to heat up. We're wondering who's sellers, who's buyers. The Los Angeles Angels are not sellers. They are indeed buyers.
Wait,
Jeff
what?
Jeff Passan, they're 4 games out of a wild card spot in the American League. The Los Angeles Angels.
We all are 4 games out of a wild card in the AL.
Are acquiring right-handed reliever Luis Garcia in a trade with the Washington Nationals. So that happened. And also, here's the big one. While the Houston Astros have interest in Minnesota Twins shortstop Carlos Correa, and there has been dialogue on a potential trade, the sides are far apart at the moment and no deal is close. But Correa apparently has told people that he would be willing to go back to Houston. So there's that.
You know what
as
that
well.
Sounds like to me? That sounds like an old test balloon. Like, the Houston Astros and Carlos Correa have probably never stopped talking because he used to play for the team and he has people who still work and live there.
It gets better. Bob Nightingale, Correa, he'd be willing to waive his no trade clause to rejoin the team and would welcome playing third base. And of course, the Astros badly need a third base with Isaac Isak Paredes, expected to miss now the rest of the season. So got that? Connecting all those dots?
I am. I think that the Twins will be like, yeah, sure, but it's going to cost you a lot.
I don't know if it's a lot, though.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.
Correa's kind of a health risk anyway. Just, yeah.
When a team has established that they want somebody like that, you bet the price goes up. Like, that's how that works. I think I just would be curious to see whose camp let that news out
there. Oh, that's Correa's camp, most definitely. Get me out of here. Get me back to a playoff-winning situation, which Houston is currently in first place in the American League West, trying to hold off the Mariners.
Who's going
to
hug Johan Duran then?
That's a good question.
That cracked me up yesterday. That was a funny aside, because teammates do that sometimes.
Just hugs.
Just you can hug and not have to have hug watch.
I hug people all the time. I'm a big hugger.
Yes.
Call me the teddy bear.
Thank you for joining us for this show. Thanks, of course, to Marshall. Thanks to Ray Diaz. Thanks to Robbie Triano, Brandon Fryer. Tyler Farengel helped us on that audio, I'm assuming. So thanks to Baby T. Alex Kuhn is here, so he gets a thank you as well. Thanks to everybody who joined us on both the Twitch stream and also on our text line and who called us. And thanks to our video crew, Connor O'Donnell and also Jacob Stutz. Cubs baseball with Zach Zaidman, Pat and Ron next on The Score.